Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, and off we go on a sad, sad morning. It's his the Uvalde thing is hitting closer to home. It's not. It's hard to compare all these schools, Sandy Hook, and all of them that happened, and now it just continues to happen more and more and more. Texas is like, we're leading the world. It's seven. We've had 78 of these in the last year, shootings, public shootings. It's just
78.
Yeah, like California's next with 55, and I mean we're it's just unbelievable how this has gotten. But this one was different, and you know, you're not here for this. We're supposed to be entertainment. We're supposed to take your minds off of stuff like this, but. I really thought Steve Kerr was. I don't agree with all his politics. No one cares what you think, you actors or you sports figures or whatnot. But Steve Kerr couldn't have been more passionate last night, and it was really, really heartfelt what he had to say. I mean, he looked like he was breaking down at a couple of points. Here's Steve Kerr before the game last night. It's pretty poignant.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here. And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket. In Buffalo, we've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, or brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
With that, Steve departed.
Yeah.
That was before the game, not after.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Just making sure people who jumped in
Yeah, it was before the game, and awfully difficult time, a tough time yesterday when it gets to little third and fourth graders, and just for absolutely no reason. It's just so hard, so hard. And man, what a horrific! Just prayers for those people of Uvalde. It's just can't be a worse situation. And I don't even know that a background check helps in this situation, because their kid's not gonna. You know, that kid got a gun somehow, some way.
Yeah, it's more nuanced. It's more nuanced discussion. It's a more complicated issue than some people make it. You know, it's gross when people jump on social media to immediately politicize one way or another on a lot of topics. But, you know, there's a lot of people who have, just like me, who have kids. You had kids who were younger at one point. I have kids who are in school right now. Talk to, you know, our friend Raheel. I won't share our conversation, but... just, you know, he's got kids who are that age. He's got a daughter who's that age. And you see, you know, his comment is like, how do you deal with that?
No, I don't
know. And I just told him. That was a really hard one yesterday for me and my wife. We were separate when we found out about it. And it's, you know, this isn't the first time, though. This is something that's gone through my mind. And it's, I don't know. I'm a common sense person. I'm not getting into hyperbole of this, that, or the other, but we got to start. I mean, there's got to be some common sense stuff, but even the common sense stuff might pare down things like this from happening. I mean, background checks, come on. What is the fight with that? What is the fight with bump stock? There's just certain things that, from a common sense perspective, that allow for additional killing. You just got to, come on now. Let's not be stupid about this. Let's not be flagrant about this. At the same time, everyone acting, you know, the people acting like this is a panacea. I mean, that's probably not accurate either, if we're honest about it, because there are going to be people who are either inherently evil or who are mentally deranged, have issues, whatever the case may be. So it's I mean, we could go. It's it's a more long form discussion, and it's one that most people can't have, because, or at least people who are highly, highly political on a side, they can't have, because they're not going to, they can't. One thing I found is that people who consider themselves big fans of politics, usually you see that in their Twitter bio, big fan of politics, or enjoy politics. You just enjoy arguing and fighting with people and trying to own other people. You don't really want to have a back and forth, a discussion, a discourse, and you don't want to find common ground, and you don't want to work together. You don't want to find compromise. You're not even in this discussion, because we know you're not even going to be involved in a discussion on the far left and the far right. You're not even going to be in a discussion.
No, that's the thing, is the majority of us are moderate. The majority of us aren't so far right, so far left.
Majority of us want things to happen that can help have a better society.
That's right. 708, we're not going to – We cannot stick our head in the sand and not think about these things and not at least feel for those people in Uvalde. I can't even. Can you imagine bringing your third grader to school and that third grader not coming home? That it's just unbelievable.
I know there was a dad. They have a video of a dad waiting outside to get news. Like I can't even imagine.
Cannot even imagine
something like that.
Cannot even imagine what those families are going through. So. This is real thoughts and prayers for those people. Real thoughts and real prayers for those people of Uvalde. I mean, this is in our state, too. This happened. And I don't know that a background check would have changed anything here. That kid, something went off in that kid, and to me,
that's you just put that in place regardless.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but like you said, I don't know that wouldn't stop that. I know it's gonna create a bunch of talking points for people, but I just hope we get to a place one day where we are not so desensitized to everything. I mean, it's getting scary, because younger people are really getting to be more violent with no sense of mortality or sense of, you know, the importance of life. Like it's scary when there are young perpetrators, because like I was talking to Raheel about this, it seems so random. What's really scary about this is the age of the children. Like who would decide that these are targets? Yeah, like what in the world? Who wronged you?
Yeah.
It's such a random event that it really hits, it really scares you across the board because you think, well, this, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to avoid. You talk about don't be out at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, this won't happen. Don't behave like this and this won't happen from a personal accountability standpoint. This is not, you have no control over this. Zero control over this. There's nothing you can do as a parent to have any control. And that's what's pretty scary about this is there's your behavior, children's behavior. It's irrelevant. This is a random issue. This is a random event that happened that you had no control over. You couldn't have an impact on it at all. And that's what's really scary for a lot of parents.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got, man, the Deshaun Watson thing. I was, if you want to know the truth, real sports, I was a little disappointed in you last
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Let's do it on the other side. Okay. But first, why don't you talk about
Let's talk about TGS insurance. So homeowners insurance, one of the things you have to do is I just made another switch. And I do this usually every year I switch homeowners insurance because I understand the way the And now, I have done it back-to-back because I got such a great deal a couple of years ago that I, even though they raised their rates by like $165, I think it was at the time, it was still lower than anything else I could find. This year, I made a switch. And that's the thing is, when you go to TGS Insurance, they shop multiple A-rated insurance companies. And you can go shop insurance yourself at multiple locations. It just takes a while. And then you have to get through the systems where you have to push this button, one, hit two, hit three, hit four. Can't even talk to a real person. So you know what I suggest and recommend you do? Text the word money to 232323. Within 15 seconds after giving them the entire thing takes 15 seconds. They ask for your address, you give it to them, and you get almost an immediate quote back, which will be the lowest rate for a homeowner's insurance for your standard coverage. Now, of course, you can work with them to get additional coverages, flood coverages. You can work with them on a variety of additional coverages, and they can tell you exactly how much that's going to cost. But I can just promise you this much. You have an opportunity to start saving money, real money, when you go with TGS Insurance and you start shopping for competitive rates. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323, TGSinsurance.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:15 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. Did you watch the real sports? Not everybody has HBO, so not everybody able to watch it. But if you watch the real sports piece on Deshaun Watson and poorly marketed, the real sports said they had several of the complainants and they would hear that we would hear from in the piece two. So that they had two of the women. They're the ones that stepped forward along with Tony Busby, and they would do it. Tony Busby put it out there for all 22 of his clients, and two of them said that they would do the interview. But Real Sports advertised it as several. And I thought. Here's the problem with them. There are worse ones than the people that were interviewed. Allegedly, there's at least one complainant that said that he forced her, which in this case, the two that were interviewed, he was moving himself onto their hands and whatnot. One broke down and cried. The other one. The other one was calling him afterwards, which is a pretty bad look. I mean, if you want to know the truth, I thought these were probably two of the least effectual that you could have interviewed. They're the only ones that wanted to cooperate, so that's a problem. Yeah, the other ones did not want
to. But that's the problem is a lot of people are not going to want to put their – well, you could, you don't have to put your face out there, but are not going to want to be in the public eye.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap that comes with that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no. There was death threats and
– yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. The people are awful.
Ashley Solise was the first face, and she dealt with a lot of stuff. So, you know, you're more likely to see her. I felt like Real Sports was, I don't want to say ill-prepared, but it just felt like they didn't have, I don't know. Their approach felt off. It's like their approach they didn't understand. I understand you want to be open-minded. You don't want to go in and this is going to be our hit piece, but they do it all the time anyway. I mean, and you know the angle that they were going for. They clearly are not, you know, it's going to be, why aren't these women being taken more seriously by this, that, or this person or the other person? But I found it interesting to, if you listen to some of the sound that we have, we'll play some of the sound. I don't always want to hear from Tony Busby, but I think it's important to hear from what Tony Busby says as we head into the potential punishment phase of this. Tony Busby talked to Real Sports about something he said publicly here in Houston.
And Ashley Solise. This is Tony Busby and Ashley Solise declaring that the NFL investigation is just a phony one.
I thought that they were serious, that they were going to, like, okay, you know, we're going to take these things seriously.
Tony Busby is the attorney for all 22 women suing Deshaun Watson. Busby says that he made a number of the women available for interviews with NFL investigators last spring until he began to believe that the league wasn't interested in what they had to say.
It wasn't a fact-finding situation. It wasn't that at all.
You don't think they were trying to find out the truth of what happened?
I think they were doing it because they were expected to.
I think that they had that interview with me or investigation with me for the sake of saying that they did something.
I don't know. That's a difficult accusation to prove. They are female. It is an independent investigation, or it's not. It's no longer the commissioner that's investigating, but they are. That's a tough one. That's a tough one too. It'll be interesting to see. Here's what I thought would have come out of last night was that you would have some. That the victims, alleged victims, would be somewhat sympathetic, and it would be there would be a public groundswell for Deshaun Watson to face a worse fate than what we believe it to be, maybe 6 to 8 games in that neighborhood, when in fact that wasn't the case. If you want to know the truth, the interviewer actually came back on the second woman, not Ashley Solise, but said, "Now, why were you calling Deshaun afterwards? Why were you trying to get a hold of him afterwards?" And her explanation was really feeble. And then at the very end, very well played by Rusty Harden, they would not cooperate while they were editing this piece, which probably took a month or more to put together. Edited and everything else. The day before it airs, they said, okay, we'll do an interview now, which they put at the very end, which means the last thing that you heard in this piece was Deshaun Watson's side by a female attorney.
And I remember when she was brought in, a friend of mine on the legal side knew her and said, she's really, really good. This is going to be somebody who really can help from a perception standpoint, or at least their thought was that it was a stroke of genius by Rusty to bring her in.
Yeah.
But based
and
on
it was
talent.
A stroke of genius not to cooperate until the day before and get the last word.
Yeah, if you want it, here's what you have, and this is all you're going to have.
She had an answer for everything. And if you want to know the truth now, I think there's a good possibility. I mean, I thought this would sway the NFL, would pull at the tug at the heartstrings, would inflame the media towards Deshaun Watson, and I don't think any of that happened last night. I don't think any of that happened last night. The Christine Brennans and all of the female reporters who could, you know, and male reporters who could, you know, definitely have a sway with the commissioner on the extent of the punishment. I don't think it happened last night. I just don't.
Yeah.
And you were right. You were probably right. Trevor Bauer is probably going to play a bigger role in his punishment than this was.
Yeah. If it's a strict one.
Yeah. If it's a strict one.
This won't do anything for you.
No. This did nothing last night.
We expected it to be more. But I didn't feel like they asked the same questions that we ask. It's just basic. Why weren't they really hammering on the fact that the most egregious thing to me that was not asked, and actually we need to play Deshaun's lawyer's comments that did air. We've got that. Cody Stutes picked that up yesterday. But one of the things that I thought really where they missed the boat is just saying, listen, why was Deshaun Watson reaching out to women on direct message who weren't even licensed massage therapists? Multiple women. Instead, they focused on the consensual sex, and I thought it was a good question. And we'll hear the question now, and we'll hear Deshaun's lawyer talk about that. But I was waiting for them to really hammer home on the fact that why are you getting massages? Why is a professional athlete searching for what they were terming as professional massages? Why are you going to non-professionals for professional massage?
On Instagram. That's
on Instagram, in direct messages. Yeah. That's the easiest question to hammer home back and forth. Here is who was, I can't remember her name, who was Soledad O'Brien. Here's Soledad O'Brien talking to the lawyer, her name slips my mind, for Deshaun Watson. And she's asked about the consensual sex, and then, frankly, I thought the lawyer did a pretty good job here of sidestepping some issues.
For Deshaun Watson to be innocent, 22 women would have to be lying. Why would the public believe one man versus 22 different women?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. First, it's 22 women. It's one lawyer. There's only one lawyer who was willing to take these cases. And as we know from Ashley Solis's deposition, Mr. Busby was not the first, probably not even the second or third lawyer that she went to. But he was the only one to take her case. Why? Not because it had merit, but because he would use these cases to increase his social media following and, quite frankly, to get on shows like this one. And when we start looking into how did we get to 22, I think that's a very valid question. And I would argue that the inquiry should be focused on Mr. Busby's conduct, not Deshaun's. Because when you start looking into how we got to 22 cases, he went on social media immediately to create vague statements, vague allegations about behavior that needed to be stopped, and then solicited clients to say, call me. And they did.
Deshaun Watson has insisted that in these massages that he was looking for nothing other than professional services, but we know he did have sex with three women, right? Oral sex with two, vaginal sex with another. So how do you explain unintentionally ending up having sex with people who are giving you professional massages?
Well, in every massage, I will tell you he did go intending just for a professional massage. And only those three instances where sexual conduct occurred, consensual sexual activity, it occurred after the massage session had ended. And Mr. Watson has testified and is insistent that that sexual activity was initiated by the plaintiff in every single instance.
He said he has no regrets. Is that still true? He has no regrets?
As he testified in his depositions last week, yes, he has no regrets because he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong in these massages. And although, to your first question, how can he be innocent? I think the real question is, what evidence is there of any guilt? Two grand juries in two separate jurisdictions looked at these cases and found that there was no credible evidence that a crime had occurred. And I'll tell you, based on our civil investigation, our civil discovery, there is no credible evidence that Mr. Watson should be held civilly liable.
I thought that was a horrible question.
I did too. Well, which one?
The last one.
Yeah.
That he has no regrets. I mean, That's an easy, that's a softball for a lawyer.
What do you expect him to say? Yeah. You want to say, yeah, you know, he has some regrets.
Well, no, but that's a softball to a
lawyer. Yeah, because you're working off you're working off the opinion that he is innocent. So why would he ever regret about something he's innocent? I thought the question about, you know, consensual sex was a good one. The first question was a pretty good one. I didn't think the lawyer had a great answer.
But I think you're right, though. Why is he? A lot of them weren't professional.
She used the phrase professional massage. You come back at her and say, but if professional massages are what you were looking for, why did you not go to a professional masseuse, and why go to multiple?
A bunch of these women were not professional masseuses.
Right.
Right. So anyway, I think Real Sports did a poor job. I think that Deshaun Watson's going to win in this thing. He's got his 230.
He's getting suspended.
He's getting suspended for what, 6 to 8 games?
No, Deshaun Watson beat you.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson won.
Deshaun Watson, will have beaten.
He beat the legal system. He's probably going to win civilly. Now, there are a couple
of
cases.
You think he will?
I think there are a couple of cases. Again, him moving she touched it because he moved a certain way. That's going to be awfully difficult.
That's what she said. Prove. Where's the proof? How do you expect there to be proof unless there's illegal cameras stashed around or you do have cameras for security purposes? What proof can you have other than now? I know there's text messages that were back and forth. I don't know. This thing has gone on for a long, long time. Hopefully something gets done.
Yeah.
You just kind of hate to see somebody thumb their nose at everything and get away with everything. And I mean in just a general sense when we see this in society, people who get away with white-collar crime, get away with this, get away with that. It's like, you know, sometimes you shouldn't just get away with stuff.
Yep. 7378037776.
Punishment. I'm fine with the punishment fitting a crime and not trying to, you know, publicly stone people with the way that the mobs react sometimes. But these are pretty serious allegations that merit. And I'm not completely in on what Tony Busby's saying, where he's acting like there's going to be the league doesn't want to find anything. We'll see about that. I think the league is definitely going to come with a punishment, even though there was no grand jury indictments. The league is going to come with a punishment. I'd be shocked if they don't.
They will have to. All right. When we come back, let's talk about them Astros last night. How about Alex Bregman last night coming through? We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you, my friend, need to talk about Allstate
Windows and Siding. They do windows, they do siding, and Allstate really is out there helping you to better improve your energy efficiency. I think that's the most important thing I can tell you right now. Yes, of course, something new on your home is going to beautify your home. These new windows look way better than your original single pane strength windows. Yes, they eliminate a lot of the noise that's out there. Certainly, bring it back way back down. It helps the retrofit so you don't have the same leakage. And the fact that they're not leaking is why I think that the savings they say will take you all the way. I had my roofing guy talked about this with me. He goes, Lance, new windows can save you up to 40% from an energy standpoint because it's the most important move you can make to help to lower your energy bills. Short of adding some, additional. Stuff in your attic, all the pink stuff that you spray all over the place. I'm just telling you right now, siding and windows help to lower your energy bills, make you energy efficient, makes your house look great, and you got an opportunity right now to do that with 25% discount, 36 months of no interest financing, and even benefits for and lowered rates for seniors, military, and cash discounts. So make sure that you go for the best rate. For the best rate, go to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, how about them Astros winning again last night? 7-3 was your final. Fromber looked good. He was, somebody pointed out, what's the deal with Fromber sweating as much as he is? He was.
He's always been a sweater, though.
Yeah, I guess he is. 106 pitches, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, no walks. No walks is a nice thing. Fromber was throwing it over the plate. He gave, you know what, they're going to get some more hits, but that's okay. He got out of innings. He did a nice job defensively. Everything about it was really, really nice. And the Astros' bats came alive. How about Bregman coming through early in that game in the third inning? He comes up with two on. He came up with the bases loaded and came through with the big double down the left field. First pitch. Bregman is a guy. Now, see, that's the thing. I love his approach there because Bregman is a walker. Bregman is a pitch taker. Bregman is going to watch a lot of pitches. He's got a discerning eye, really, really good at
it. It's a strength.
His on-base is wonderful, yeah. He's got a great eye. For him to get up and be aggressive in that situation and pull that ball down the line was a great sign. A great sign because he was ready and he was aggressive. And then, you know, we watched that video the other day of Jeremy Pena and Adrian Beltre. It is amazing.
Their swing is it's exactly
almost
alike.
Identical.
It was almost identical. Carlos Pena brought that up on MLB Network. He said, here's the comp on him. And it's like, holy crap. He does have a swing like Adrian Beltre. And defensively, he does have similar range. So that was a pretty good comp. That's a good comp to have, too. Adrian Beltre was a good player.
Really good player. So he just continues to hit. Dude's up to 293. His OPS is 851. He is, I mean, you want to talk about, now he doesn't, and it's amazing. We go from Carlos Correa to him. So, you know, there's some nitpicking. He doesn't have Carlos's arm. Okay. He just doesn't. And he's never going to have nobody in the league has Carlos's arm, by the way, at shortstop.
No.
I mean, if we're going to nitpick Jeremy Pena.
I do think his arm is not great. I mean, regardless of Carlos Correa, I think it's not – you would not call it a plus arm. I think it is a slightly below average arm by shortstop standards. Okay. You know,
that's fine.
It's what it is. He has good range. I think the rest of it is good. I think that's probably his biggest weakness of his game because it's hard to find other ones right now.
No, there are no – And what was really
it's
neat,
not confidence. I mean, that guy's he's a confident player at the plate.
You know what was really neat was coming through last night with in situations. Bregman with two outs and the bases loaded, 9 hits and 7 runs. It seemed like McCormick had one hit. Oh, it was a double that scored a run. Alvarez had one hit. Oh, it was a base hit that scored a run. It just seemed like every hit meant something last night. Kyle Tucker, I mean, dude, he is just totally Teddy ballgame. Teddy Tucker is just totally, totally sweet. And he pulls one and gets it into the right center field bullpen, and the Astros win it 7-3. It's nice. And Fromber looking nice. Nerys and Montero did their jobs as well. So, very, very nice night. After bouncing back, because let's say the Guardians, this is not a bad ball club. The Guardians and I have a nice team.
No, they've got a pretty good little team.
Yeah. So,
I mean, not good enough.
Not they're not the Astros. They're certainly not the Astros, but they are, it's a decent team. And I was a little scared when you lose the first game, you're like, that sucks. Javier tonight, Christian Javier against Quantrill. It's a 7:10 ball game. Looks like we're going to have weather all day long, so be careful getting to the park tonight. Probably going to be a lot of traffic, so try to go early. I had my daughter went. My daughter's in town. Frankie's in town. She's staying with us, and all her her congressmen and everybody else is staying downtown, so right by the ballpark. And so I had to take her and then go pick her up after the game. Take her at 5 o'clock, bring her downtown, which is always fun.
That's
the best time.
It's actually gotten very easy to drive in and out of downtown.
know, and then
especially when there's a baseball game,
and then picking her up after. It's just a good time. You know what? It's terrible to have to drive down there and go to the game. It's even worse to drive down there.
It's terrible going to the game, though.
Well, no. But it's horrible to drive down there, get there, park, do all that stuff, and go. And the game is great, but at least there's a payoff of a game.
Yeah.
I had to do both those things. No payoff.
No, that's no good. That's like being an Uber driver.
Yeah, right. That's what I was.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was last night. But that's for my little baby girl, so that's fine. That's what dads do. All right, 28-16 now. This team, after a slow start, appears to be – where are they in your mind?
I believe the Astros are currently at the perch that they deserve to be, which is at the top of the food chain in the American League. You can make an argument for other teams.
Well, it's the Yankees that are.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. It's always the Astros and Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's always what it is. So that's what I think is going on there. I think the Astros basically are right there as the top dogs, along with the Yankees right now in the American League.
That's
what it usually is.
How about it could well come. Okay, so the Yankees are hated, right? Well, hate the Yankees.
Astros hated.
The Twins are just a half a game behind the Astros right now. That's how good the Twins
are
playing.
Close
that's
right
how
now?
That's how, and Carlos is playing well. So this is going to be really, really interesting. The Astros just a half a game ahead. They've got a full game lead on the Angels now. But there's no hatred. But boy, how interesting this postseason is looking is shaping up to be. Now it's a quarter way through the season. A bunch of stuff can change. There's certainly a lot of baseball left to be played. You can't talk about anything, obviously, in baseball until you're in game 160. So, and then even then, there's still too much baseball to be played with those two games left. So make sure that you're not. But the Dodgers, 29-13, are actually behind. The first team to reach 30 wins is the Yankees. And the Dodgers are just a half a game behind them, just a couple of games ahead of the Astros. The Brewers and the Mets. And, man, Mets have opened up an 8-game lead. The Braves have started slow, but watch.
Yeah, but they've got some big – I mean, losing Freddie Freeman is a big deal. That's kind of heart and soul. Now they got a lot of talent. Don't worry about it. But Freddie's one of those guys who's also a very clutch player, too. So we'll see. We'll see how the Braves do. Mets, this is what people are waiting.
Charlie Morton's off to a really slow start. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem unless all of a sudden he
starts to be Charlie Morton.
And then – you start to see those wins start piling up for you. But what's interesting is the Mets are finally the Mets that people have been waiting for about a decade. They've been spending money. They've had name brand players, and they haven't stepped up and turned into that team. Well, they're becoming that team now. So it is some headline teams, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Astros, the Mets, not Twins, not so much, but some of the, two New York teams, the LA team. I'd even say, the Angels – for the first time, are not sitting in the – are not a dumpster fire.
No.
I mean, the Angels could get frisky and try to jump out there and add starting pitching.
They'll fall off. I'm not worried about them. They'll fall off.
You'll have two MVP candidates on one team.
The Mariners will finish ahead of them when this is all said and done.
Oh, stop with your Mariners.
The Mariners will finish ahead of them when this is all said and done.
What if the Angels come out and trade for Justin Verlander? Can you imagine how good they would be? Justin Verlander with the Angels, it would hurt the Astros.
Or with the Mariners.
And it would help the Angels.
With the Mariners. What if he goes to the Mariners now?
What if they are able to trade for Yordan and Justin Verlander and Montero?
The Rangers are ahead of the Mariners now. a game and a half ahead of the Mariners. That's how piss poor the Mariners are.
The Mariners must have read their own press clip.
I must have this offseason.
They are.
Well, nothing has come through for them. I mean, Kelenic's already been sent down. It's just awful. Just awful. Everybody who was supposed to be good for them isn't. All right, 744 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Y'all got some thoughts. You're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, we got a little QC.
QC Kinetics is a... So what they do is they're biological therapies. They're all natural biological therapies. And QC Kinetics... Really, it's giving you the opportunity to get back to where you once were. And where you once were was without that pain in your knee, your shoulders, your back, your wrist. I don't know where you have your issue. I just know this. QC Kinetics works frequently on people with knee issues, on shoulder issues, with back issues. And for those of you who are arthritic, there is some hope for you because QC Kinetics has the all-natural biological therapies that are able to take things that are found in your own body, concentrate them, and then reinsert that into the aching joints. And what you find is that the tissue that has been damaged can become healed and can regenerate. And it's a restorative, regenerative process that professional athletes have been using for years now. So now it's available to you. You've got some of the same technology available to you, some of the same biological therapies available to you. This is a great opportunity for you to get back your health and get back to being the real you. Make sure that you go to QCKinetics.com. That's QCKinetics.com. The phone number to set up your free consultation here in Houston is 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Big deal that Laramie Tunsil's a no-show at OTAs. Laramie Tunsil, you know what? I'm really not offended that Laramie Tunsil's a no-show at OTAs. I'm a little bit more offended that he's a no-show during the regular season. I mean, yeah. What was supposed to be a 5-week deal turned into 13 weeks?
Yeah. I'm just not really, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I just don't really believe I question how much he loves football. I think he loves the money, loves the lifestyle. It was a lot. You can't really, I know there were some questions from some people in Miami about his love for football. That's one of the places I heard about it. But you do have plausible deniability. Because you think, why would you get rid of a left tackle when left tackle is so important? To this day, Miami really needs tackle help. And they got rid of their tackle. But you can say, okay, well Bill O'Brien offered such a stupid thing. Pick. And they drafted, I think, Liam Eichenberg. Like, they're trying to, Austin Jackson, they're trying to get their tackle situation right. Yeah, and it was such a stupid offer from Bill O'Brien that you almost have to do it. But I don't know. I don't know that Laramie Tunsil is a guy that is a culture guy for the locker room. I think they'll be done with him after this year. I think they'll move on from Laramie Tunsil. That's why I thought it might be smart to actually try to move him and trade him. I would still consider it in season. If you feel like Titus Howard can handle your tackle stuff, if I'm Nick Caserio and
Charlie Heck is taking those reps.
Titus Howard would be the guy that I'd try to give it to, unless Charlie could handle it, which I don't think he has the strength to handle it. But what I would do is I would, and they didn't do anything for the position, like, so it's not like they have some new guys that are ready to step up. I thought they might address tackle, and they didn't at the draft. So what, you know, I think what you do if you're the Texans is you consider, you don't want to get Davis Mills killed, but at the same time, if Laramie's going to be an issue in terms of availability or, you know, not being a good leader and not being a good example for other players in terms of not practicing, not doing any. You're trying to start a whole new. You're trying to rebuild a culture.
Should he be there?
I would.
Should he be there?
I think so, but I'm probably not the right guy. I know today's generation of players don't believe that you play, so I don't know. I always think you play, but
Laramie Tunsil doesn't believe in that whole thing,
right? I get OTAs. Some people say they're not compulsory, but I think if you're serious about winning at the highest level, there's nothing wrong with coming in for 3 or 4 days and going through the process with your new teammates. But see, I think Kyler Murray could have used it from a leadership standpoint, wanting a new contract. I understand him not coming in. I also think you could have maybe said something about your commitment by coming in. With Laramie Tunsil, I'd be willing to move him in season if you could get something for Laramie Tunsil. Based on what the you know, he's not going to be a free agent. I don't think it ends after this year. I think he'd be a cap casualty. So it's not like you're going to get anything if he quote unquote walks away with a compensatory draft pick. For me, I would consider trading Laremy Tunsil to a team that really needs it. But what do you replace him with? I don't know. If you find anybody, if Tytus Howard can get the job done at left tackle, then or Charlie Heck, whoever.
Well, it's probably your first pick next year as a tackle.
I would consider moving him. Yeah, I don't know the class. I don't know the. Well, it's going to be a quarterback or maybe tackle.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, Davis Mills is going to. I don't think with having those two first round picks, I don't think.
Sure, it would be Davis nice Mills if it's not a tackle. I mean, Davis it's not
Mills,
a quarterback.
Right. Davis Mills needs to show you who he is, because if you don't believe he's as good as the first play, if you were to have the first pick of the draft, well, that's because you sucked, and Davis Mills was probably part of that suck, so they'll go quarterback. If they have the first pick of the draft, they'll draft a quarterback, because that means Davis Mills wasn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. But you also got another pick, so I'm almost guarantee you. Now Tunsil's got this year and next year left on this deal. But if he just doesn't even want to show up.
Cap casualties is likely. I think he's a cap cut next year. What's the number?
Potential out 2023 3-year $16 million, $16.7 million dead cap.
And then what's his salary?
His salary it's a lot.
That's what I mean. So you actually save money. The dead money is just you subtract.
His cap
that.
Hit is 35.
Yeah, so you're going to save $19 million if you cut him. Yeah. So he's going to either be cut.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you have to save money.
Or re-extended.
Right, it's not, you know.
No, but you can get something for him.
Yeah.
For some reason, the city of Houston doesn't believe in getting anything for anybody. They just let it just play out.
Well, wouldn't now the time with 2 years left on this deal? Because isn't this what the Texans did? They got him in the last year of the deal, and then they had to spend exorbitant money.
Yeah, I think now would be the time, because it gives another team a chance to look at the cap number and say, okay, let's give him some actual cash, and let's turn that $35 million spot, which is a quarterback number, which is basically just it's untenable. You have to change that number. So it gives another team a chance to do it. If I could deal him for a second-round pick, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I just want my left tackle to actually want to show up.
I mean, I think that's reasonable.
That's all.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable.
And he didn't show up. I mean, of all the guys.
He went to Dallas.
It kind of sucks. Of all the guys, he had a finger injury. You know how many guys on the offensive line played with finger injuries? I mean, and it was supposed to be 5 weeks, and then it turned into he didn't play again for 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And now he's not even just showing. I just think it's, you know, for $66 million, you might just show up. I don't know. I just feel like, goodness gracious, can't you find a guy? Bill O'Brien, could you find a worse guy? I mean, and that was, get rid of him. Get him out of here. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't want to practice. Laremy Tunsil doesn't even come. He doesn't even show up. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, it would be great if you're earning $66 million and you just showed up or something. Just came to work one day. It'd be great, I think. I don't know. That's me.
It'd be great. It would be great. But if Nick Caserio gets a sense that Laremy Tunsil's not in it,
What other sense could Nick Caserio glean from Laremy Tunsil?
Well,
so far?
His limited time, you can't unless the injury was just so significant. But I know he went up to Dallas with Duke Mannyweather for a little bit. I don't know if he worked out or just hung out, but I know he was up. I know he was up there at that point. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't think the Texans will deal him. I think the Texans should strongly consider dealing him if they can be functional at a tackle spot, because my guess would be second round pick could potentially no worse than a third. I do think you get a third for Laremy Tunsil and maybe a third and a fifth, because whoever gets Laremy Tunsil, if you want to get a second rounder for him, then you have to hope that they view Laremy as a long-term solution. And so what they're going to do is come in and redo a deal with him where they add 2 more years on this contract, 3 more years, and they take a salary cap number next year way down from $35 million down to like $15 million, which would mean, you know, guaranteeing, giving him $20 million, converting that to cash. But it's hard finding quality left tackles, and if you're a good team and you think Laremy Tunsil is, I mean, there's a lot of teams that need left tackle.
You've been without a quality left tackle for most of the time he's been here. He just hasn't been here.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's never there.
How much time do you think he's missed other than last year?
No, I think he played.
Yeah, he
I think he played, yeah.
He has. I want to go get the actual number because
maybe Tunsil Ubers his daughter around all day like you. No, that's not what he's
doing. Well, maybe he does.
Maybe he does, but shut up, Alan. 713-780-3776. That's a Browns fan. Congrats, that's a Browns fan that's texting the show here.
Oh, he had a big day yesterday on Real
Sports. Yeah, congratulations on your quarterback. Yeah.
Congratulations on your Real Sports.
You got to feel real good about your team.
Yeah, it didn't go as badly for you as you thought.
No. Actually, it went pretty well for
you. Here he is. Games 14, 15, 15, 14, 14, 5. So he's missing 1 to 2 games every single year. The guy has never had a 16-game schedule. Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, now 17, so. We'll see how 14, many he misses.
15, 15, 14, 14,
that's not
5.
Bad, though. I don't mind. If he misses one,
most
that's
guys
great.
Don't.
But last year, he missed 12.
I'll just name Andrew Whitworth. I'm just thinking of any starting left tackle that is a solid left tackle. Let's take a look at how much time he's missed. I'll pull it up real quick, and we'll see. Because maybe he's missed more time than I think. All right, we go to his stats, and we go Andrew Whitworth, his career. Okay, so Andrew Whitworth has played, well, we'll just go from 2010, 16, 16, 16, 14, 16, 16, 16, 15, 16, 9, 15. A lot of 16s in there.
Yeah.
Right before 2010, it looked like this, 16, 10, 16, 16. Laremy's never had one 16, not one 16-game schedule.
Yeah.
Not one.
713-780-3776, the number, if you like want to hang out, if you guys want to hang out with us here. 713-780, you had some thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. I've got some thoughts on Coors Light. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think I love Coors Light. Now, not do I want to marry it? No, I'm not going to marry Coors Light, but I sure am going to drink it. I'm going to drink it up, slurp it up. That's what I do. I drink your milkshake, your Coors Light milkshake. That's right. I will drink your Coors Light. I'll drink Coors Light. Doesn't matter what the occasion, it really does. If you're happy, if you're sad, if you're mad, if you're glad, if you're just blasé, if you're just sitting around, if you're not sitting around, if you're just standing around, whatever the case may be, if you're loitering, it doesn't matter where you are. You got cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. I thoroughly enjoy it while I'm playing golf. I thoroughly enjoy it when I'm not playing golf. I thoroughly enjoy it. You can too. All you got to do is go get those mountains. When you see the mountains are blue, you know you're Texas chill, baby. That is Texas chill. It is so hot out there, and you want to keep it chill. I know one way you can't keep it Texas chill, and that's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
ESPN 97.5.